this morning. And joining us live over the phone today is Jeremiah Jensen from KSL to talk college football. But first, JJ, we were just talking about the weather for the Friday Night Lights tonight. You're a Star Valley grad. Do you remember playing football on these cold, crisp September nights, or did you block that from your memory?
Tundra well. I remember night practicing. You know, the sun starts going down in late October, early November, after the clocks turned back, and it's 4:30 p.m. and it's dark, and you got the steam coming off the field, because I remember that vividly. Many times, many nights practicing out in the cold, getting ready for those games. I was fortunate. I can't remember playing. This is weird. Playing at Star Valley High School, I don't remember playing in a snow game. I played a lot of rain games and a lot of cold games. Playoff games, fortunately, were in the afternoons on Saturdays. I don't remember any snow games, like where it was just crazy snow. But there was plenty of bitter cold moments for sure. So, yeah, you told me 36 degrees tonight. That's crazy in September. But, yeah, that brings back some memories of playing football in the cold.
In fact, I remember our senior year. Homecoming against Cody looked just about like this, and I remember being absolutely thrilled and dumb and happy in the rain, just cheering you guys on. So and you pulled it off, so it was awesome. So
yes, we did. That was a big win for us.
That's actually one of my favorite football memories, which. I guess you got to be, like I said, young and stupid to have some of those memories, because it was not good conditions, but there it was. Jeremiah, wanted to kind of kick things off with BYU. This has been such a long wait for them to finally get back into conference, and not just a conference, but a Power 5 conference, which is what they had aimed to do in the first place. But this is it. This weekend, tomorrow, they get to take on the Kansas Jayhawks in conference play in the Big 12. Kind of explain to us some of the feelings going through the Cougar faithful down there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that. I think really, you look at the players and the coaches that have been with the program for a while, especially Kalani Sitake, who coached in Independence for several years. This is special because playing in a conference is just different, and being able to compete for something, for a title. He even mentioned this week when he was talking and being asked about this from reporters. They had the special teams player of the week recently. Ryan Rico won the special teams award for punting, and like they haven't had conference players of the week for 13 years, and that was really cool for them. And the players really appreciated that. So every moment of this move to the Big 12 has been special. And this weekend really caps it off, and this is when the reality sets in that, oh, we're back in the conference. We're playing a conference game in a Power 5 conference, whatever Power 5 means anymore. They're playing a game in the Big 12 against Kansas. This is different, and it's significant. And, yes, the fans have waited a long time. I think if you're listening, you're a BYU fan, this is incredible. And I don't know if it really sinks in until you really get into this, and it's going to be 2, 3, 4 weeks until you're playing these teams. And then you're looking at the standings, and you're in a battle for a conference championship. How long that lasts, I don't know. We'll see. But you're optimistic at this point that you're in that mix, and you're competing for something. It's special. So there's a lot of excitement surrounding this game. I'm actually headed out there tomorrow morning. I fly out of here early, and I'm going to go cover the game tomorrow in Lawrence, Kansas.
Well, it certainly is it's going to be a special moment, and on the road for this one. But when that home schedule starts here in the Big 12, I mean, that's going to be a rocking environment, I'm sure. What's your take on BYU so far this season as they head into this Big 12 schedule? You get that kind of win against Sam Houston, right? I mean, it's a win, but it was then they blow out Southern Utah, as you would expect, and then that exciting come from behind win on the road against Arkansas last week. What's your take on BYU so far heading into this game?
The Arkansas win changed the perspective. It changed everything in the way this team was viewed, because you're right. Those first two games were, if you're watching it and you're seeing them struggle against Sam Houston, and then, they had moments against Southern Utah where they were struggling as well, especially defensively. You're watching BYU, you're like, oh, boy, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this team. And I was worried that they went to Arkansas, and a lot of these problems we saw in those first two games would be exposed. So to go down to Arkansas in SEC country against a good team, we think they're a good team. We'll find out just how good they are as the season goes on. But to go on the road in the SEC country and perform that way where you come back twice in a game, something BYU's always struggled with, by the way, and finish a game, that was very significant. It showed a lot about, I don't know. We'll see how the season goes and see how good Arkansas is and see what that win really means. But to me, it showed that they could go out on the road against a Power 5 team and play that way and deal with adversity and overcome it, and then also at the same time display how good and talented they are. I mean, that Chase Roberts catch was a big-time catch. There was several plays in that game that were big-time plays made by some key players that showed you, okay, they've got some really good, talented players. They showed a lot of moxie. They were able to come back, and they proved a lot. The other thing they proved, guys, to me, is that defense can now get pressure on the quarterback, which has been a big problem for BYU in the last few years. And Jay Hill's defense is really taking form. He said in the preseason, he said in camp, it would take two or three games for them to really gel and for it to really come together. And boom, right, game three, he was right. It showed and it came together. Now, can they keep this consistently? We'll have to see. But to answer your question, there was a lot of questions about BYU game one and game two. They answered a lot of them in game three, and now they'll really have to answer them against the Kansas team who might – it sounds strange to say Kansas might be better than Arkansas, but the quarterback is better, the running back's better, they have some athletes, their scheme's better. They look better than Arkansas, so we'll have to see. But this is a big test for them coming up to see if what we saw last week wasn't fool's gold, if this is something that the Cougars can do consistently.
That is interesting because, you know, you look at Kansas, let's be honest, the first thing we think about Kansas is they're a blue blood basketball school. They have won a ton of championships. They're one of the elite programs in the country in terms of basketball. But a lot of the time they've been kind of the doormat in football. Well, that's not really the case last year and coming into this year. In fact, if the last odds I looked at are still the same, BYU are 10-point dogs in this matchup, which I thought was quite high for this particular matchup between teams I thought was pretty equal.
Yeah, that was interesting. It's always weird that the Vegas odds are always interesting. I guess that's a conversation we could have. But the fact that there is a different respect for Kansas just goes to show that, you know, they're at home and they've got a lot of athletes. Look, Jalen Daniels, their quarterback, was voted the preseason offensive player of the year in the Big 12. And, you know, you guys, if you watched Wyoming last week, you saw Quinn Ewers of Texas. I mean, he was picked over him. He was picked over the Oklahoma quarterback. He's the best. We believe he's had some injury issues this year, but we believe he's the best offensive player in the conference. And so BYU is going to have to contend with that. And you have to respect that, right? So Kansas is not the old Kansas. Kansas is now playing good football. And it shows the respect that they've earned recently that BYU is a 10-point dog. But I like that, guys, because BYU, I think they're going to be playing that role all season long in the Big 12. They were picked to finish 11th. Out of the 14 teams in the Big 12. So BYU has a chip on their shoulder as they enter these games. And so I think that's a good position for BYU to be in. But it does show you the respect that Kansas has earned with their football program, which, you know, for those of us who followed college football for years, Kansas was always a joke. So it's kind of weird, but Kansas is good.
Jeremiah Jensen of KSL's Hocking College Football with us today. Jeremiah, how big is this game in the big spectrum of things for BYU? Because we've talked about how it's the first game of the Big 12. You're at Kansas, but when you look at the upcoming schedule, you host Cincinnati, then you go at TCU. You have teams like at Texas. I mean, the schedule just gets bigger and bigger as the season goes on. So win or lose, if the Cougars go and win at Kansas, how big of a deal is that? Or if they go and they lose, how big of a deal? How worried should we be?
No. So yeah, this is huge for a number of reasons. Obviously, first Big 12 game ever. That's big. But what BYU is trying to do is show that they can compete in this conference. And so you're looking at the schedule, and it gets a lot more difficult and a lot more challenging. So if you're looking at, okay, Kansas is a game that if you can go beat Arkansas, why can't you go beat Kansas? That's your mentality now, right? That's, and especially as a fan, you're saying the same thing. We just beat Arkansas on the road. Why can't we go to Lawrence, Kansas, and win? And then Cincinnati is a game you absolutely have to have at home. But the thing is, guys, you know, I think coming in this season, you're like, okay, at BYU, if they were able to get 6-6 or 7-5 in their first year, that's amazing. Well, a win at Kansas makes you 4-0. You're two wins away. So not only are you proving that you can compete in the Big 12 against a very good team that has the conference player of the year, you're 2 wins away from becoming bowl eligible, which would be massive in your first year in the Big 12, and you'd be proving a lot of doubters wrong. And so then it kind of sets the stage and helps them build towards something in the conference. Then you're at home against Cincinnati. Before you get into the beef of that tough schedule where you're playing TCU and Texas, Texas Tech, you guys know the schedule coming up. It gets more difficult, although there's some teams in the Big 12 this year that are really bad at that we weren't expecting, like Iowa State and Oklahoma State aren't very good. So it's interesting how that might develop later in the season. But right now it helps BYU build that confidence and momentum going into conference play where they can actually say, okay, we're going to almost bowl eligible, and now we feel like we're building momentum where we can compete in the conference. We can make a run in this conference and make a run at a championship. So that's why this game would be significant, is because it would do a lot of those things for them as they move forward.
Well, speaking of difficult schedules moving forward, let's flip over to the Utes. They've got number 22 UCLA this weekend. Of course, they're ranked number 10 in the latest poll. But then they go at number 14 Oregon State. A couple weeks after that, they go at number 5 USC. They have number 10 Oregon. And then, by the way, down the road, you're at number 8 Washington. And, Colorado is ranked now, too. So, man, talk about a murderer's row there. Now, I don't know if Colorado's going to be ranked by the time they get to the end of the season. That's kind of a big spectacle there. But, man, this Utah schedule looks rough in this what looks to be the final season of the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think everybody's stunned and surprised at how good the Pac-12 is this year. And we knew it would be better. I mean, you're looking at the start of the season, we talked about how many great quarterbacks were in this conference and all the teams that had those great quarterbacks. So, I mean, like Oregon State, I'm not surprised that they're having success and they're ranked where they're at. I thought that was a dark horse to win the conference going into the season. But now you got Washington State beating Wisconsin. They're in the top 25. UCLA is in the top 25. There's 8 Pac-12 teams in the top 25. That's insane. And Utah's got to play almost all of them. So I think Washington State's the only one of those they don't play this year.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's a gauntlet. And it starts this week. And you're starting to look at the schedules like, ooh, that's a tough one. Ooh, that's tough. Yeah, it is. That's how it's going to be this year in the Pac-12. And it's crazy. You're right. In the last year of the Pac-12, they're going out with a bang. So it's going to be rough. But, you know, it starts with UCLA this week. And there's no week off. And so Utah's got to be healthy and they got to be ready. But that's the biggest problem that Utah's dealing with right now. I don't think anyone doubts that Utah's a contender and they have the talent to win this conference again. What they don't have right now is a lot of those guys that helped them do that recently. They don't have Cam Rising and Brant Keithy, and we don't know when they're going to be back, and I don't have confidence that it's going to be this week. So now you're facing this tough schedule with a freshman quarterback, and you're missing a lot of guys, and you don't know who's going to be playing. So it's kind of a mystery of who Utah is really right now. But you're at a point where even if you're missing all these guys, you just got to accept who you are, and that's kind of, I think, what a lot of fans have to do is just, this is who they have this year. Go with it. Nate Johnson may have to be the guy for a few more games. I don't know when Cam's going to be back. Nobody does. So it's been a weird season that way, because you're waiting for all these players to come back, but they haven't yet. And now it's go time, and you can't worry about that. It's just, and they keep bringing up the next man up mentality because they have to move forward and be strong and have confidence that the guys that are in there right now can do it. But UCLA is a good football team. That freshman quarterback's spinning it really well. They got athletes, and they're in the top 25, and they're coming here. It's a big game. I mean, a top 25 matchup this weekend at Rice-Eccles Stadium. It's going to be great, and there's a lot of history there. It's probably the last time that Utah and UCLA play, for at least for a long time. I don't, you know, who knows how scheduling will come out non-conference, but it's going to be interesting. And Utah needs this win, and they can't start out 0-1 with the gauntlet coming up, thinking that things are going to get better. But I like Utah's chances because that defense is so darn good.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, JJ. I mean, it's been clear through the first few games that if Utah is going to win until they get Cam Rising back, it's going to have to be 17-14. Like, the defense is going to have to win them some games. And that was my question. How good is this defense? Because they've been elite the last couple of years. Do you see that kind of style again this year with the personnel to be an elite defense for the Utes again this season?
Yeah, it's this, you know, following Utah, they've had some defenses for the last 2 or 3 seasons that weren't quite as dominant as they're used to be, but they had the offense. Their offense stepped up and made up for some of that. Well, now I think you're getting, you're looking at this year, this defense is elite, and they've proven that. The Baylor game showed you everything you needed to see about this defense in a tough environment in 100-plus degree heat. To be able to do that at Baylor, and basically their defense willed them in this situation to win the game late. Like you talked about winning ugly, that's what they have to do, but they've done that so far. They're 3-0 at this point. They have that win over Florida. I mean, the defense dominated Florida, and now you're looking at that Florida win. Florida just beat Tennessee and beat them with ease. Tennessee was ranked, you know, in the top 10. I think they were actually ranked 11th. So that Florida win looks a lot better, and that defense was just absolutely dominated Florida. So that defense is really good, and that's going to be, I think right now that gives them comfort and confidence knowing that the offense just has to take care of the football and do their job, and the defense will do what they have to do to keep them in games. Don't turn the ball over if you're that Utah offense. Don't do stupid things. That defense will bail you out a lot of situations like they did against Baylor. It's elite. It really is elite. Cole Bishop in the back end is one of the best safeties in the country. Their front four is not even healthy yet. They haven't had their front four healthy in a game yet, and that's scary because they've got Junior Tafuna, Connor O'Toole, Samode Pepa, who have been out with injuries. Once those guys are back, it gets even better. That defense is going to get even better. Kareni Reed just came back from injury, so he's their basically the quarterback of that defense. They've been missing these key players on defense and have still been elite. So they're really good on defense, and that's going to be, I think, that could be the difference in them repeating as conference champions. They're really going to have to lean on that defense until guys get healthy on offense.
Jeremiah Jensen, KSL. JJ, as always, we appreciate your time, appreciate your insight. You mentioned you're going to Kansas to cover the BYU Cougars, but, you know, if you want to come up and relive the glory days of Star Valley football on a 36-degree wet night in September, you're welcome, man. You're always welcome up here.
We will put you on a camera.
I would actually love to do that. Unfortunately, I've got to be calling my own game tonight. I'm in the high school game tonight, play-by-play out in the cold, too. Look, I know it's only going to be 55 degrees here in Salt Lake City, not 36, so I get there's a difference. So I'm not going to complain hearing that you guys got to be out there in the 35-degree weather. But I'll be thinking of you tonight, and go Braves.
Awesome. Hey, Jeremiah Jensen, KSL. It's all part of First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday.